Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Really? This is Band of Brothers Radio. Welcome. I'm glad you're here this morning. I've gotten rid of Raul. He just was, you know, he was superfluous. So this is Felix, and I'm taking over. This is a coup d'etat. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, yeah.
I bet you can't even spell superfluous.
That's true, but I don't have to.
Is it an F or a PH in there?
PH.
Okay, whatever. Maybe we'll find out later.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, hey, it's good to have you guys with us, man. Today we have a topic that is, it could be considered controversial, especially if you like to, you know, kind of dabble in or ride the fine line or however.
Yeah, well, we have alternative facts for you today.
Yes. How close to the edge are you willing to go? Or do you really desire to, or do you want to stay as far away from the edge as possible?
The edge of what?
Well, you know, it's...
Edge of hell?
Well, you know, it was just a metaphor sort of giving an idea of, you know, when we start playing around with sin, okay, that all of a sudden certain things can, you know, that our curiosity can actually lead us to some real damage in our lives.
Curiosity,
right?
Curiosity.
And it says something, I don't want to say kills the cat because you have a cat.
I have a cat and he's dying. No, I'm serious.
Now make me feel bad for laughing now.
All cats go to heaven. Don't worry about it.
Oh, no. You think there's going to be cats in heaven? There might be. Dogs and stuff.
Snakes.
This is not what the topic is about.
No.
That's not what we're talking about.
No.
So we had texted yesterday, and you just kind of mentioned something. He says, hey, what does it matter if I dot, 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 you know, type of thing. And in today's world, there's so many temptations, so many lures, some that are very blatant. They're right out in front of us. You know that when you walk through that door that it's going to be complete sin, right?
It's black and white, you know.
Yes, and there are others that are just kind of just dabbling in it a little bit, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that take place, whether it's what the authorities that we live under here on this earth, the government, that say that, hey, it's okay to do this. You know, only if you have certain, you stay within this guideline or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you exceed that, then you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
Well, the Lord isn't quite like that with what he says in his word.
No, he doesn't. And he's pretty explicit in his word. We're gonna go through some scriptures today to even prove that this is not just Raul and Felix's ideas, because our ideas aren't that great.
I know.
But we know somebody's ideas who are very good.
So often when it comes to this desire, especially for those who, and it really matters to those more that have been asked to be saved. Right, that have asked the Lord to save them and asked them or desired to follow Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we keep on this path, and if we wander at times, in a sense of, or just being in the world with it being inundated with all the temptations, we have a tendency sometimes of maybe listening to something a little longer than others because it's familiar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know what will take place if we maybe go in, or maybe we say, well, hey, maybe I don't have to go that far into it, okay? And it brings up the question of, now, I was brought up this way as a Catholic.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I know. But this is part of why I'm no longer there, all right? They have mortal sin and venial, I think is what it's
venial
called.
Venial sin.
Yeah. One that is, I guess the best way of saying it is one is that's... I guess they're one's not forgiven and the other one is forgivable, I guess, to make it one's lighter than the other. And how that works, I used to make all my sins venial. They're all venial sins,
yeah.
You know, so I'm going to be forgiven. And but anyway, and how we look at sin today, sometimes we can just pretend we don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even mention it sometimes or act as if, it's, hey, it's no big deal.
Yeah,
type of thing, you know, yeah.
And we do that. We'll say this is no big deal because you know we'll make that personal judgment on our own as to what is okay for us to do and what's not okay for us to do. And what does that make us? That kind of makes us the lord of our lives because we determine what is good and what is not good for us to do.
Right, and that's back to the whole reason that we ask Jesus to come into our lives is that because our lives, the decisions that we have made, have led us down a path that only led to destruction. And we knew that as we continue to try to pull up our own bootstraps, I would not be able to accomplish any more than what I was doing before because I'm in the flesh. I'm not holy. I am not seeking to be more like Christ, right? And as a result of that, I end up falling in for the temptations or the lures of thinking that, oh, this is going to bring me some pleasure, but it's not really a sin.
Right.
Right? That God's going to look upon us as all of a sudden it's okay when it's really not okay. Look at you. You're just right?
Going through the scriptures, bro.
I know you're looking to it. So where did you want to go with this? What direction do you think?
Well, I think, you know, especially for those men who are struggling with certain sins, wondering whether or not they should struggle with it or they should just yield to it and just allow it to have its place in their life.
Right.
You know, and you know, we're creatures of habit.
Right.
This is all normal for all of us.
Right.
We are creatures of habit. The question is, do we examine our habits? Do we look at them from God's perspective and say, is this a habit I need to have?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this a habit need to go?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to know that, especially if one of these brothers out here that are listening want to grow in Christ. What does that mean to grow in Christ? And or believes that they should be in leadership. In some type of capacity in church or in a ministry of some type,
mm-hmm.
Because they look at the leader and say, you know, that's my heart's desire to lead men to
right.
do that,
right.
And sometimes we don't realize that one of the reasons why we're not allowed to be in leadership by God
mm-hmm.
is because there's excess baggage that we have that
yes.
we don't want to get rid of,
right?
And so God will let us know some of these things, and sometimes He puts His finger on it through the Holy Spirit because He's the convictor. He's
mm-hmm.
the one. It's not a guilt trip. God is not into making us guilty with unresolved guilt.
Yeah.
But He wants to bring us to a level of listening to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit deal with us so that we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we'll be able to do the will of God. Because it's about doing God's will. You know, Jesus, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, you know, not my will be done, but yours, God, you, Father. I want to do your will. And we've got to learn as Christians that is our role too. We're supposed to do the will of God, not our own will. So a lot of times we'll make excuses for things that we do. And we've got great, great reasons and great excuses as to why we do these things, why we can do these things. I personally have a few. You know, and because I'm not immune to this type of thing either, because we have, you know, we have our sinly desires. And some of them, like Raul said, some of them are sins that will lead to death and others not. It talks about that in John, you know.
You know, when you talked about, you were speaking earlier, and I just, you know, I grabbed my Bible because it's in there. I know it's in Leviticus, but I couldn't remember chapter 11 or 14, but I couldn't find it. But it's in 1 Peter. It talks about, now this is a huge part of what we have done when we asked the Lord not only to forgive us, but we wanted to listen to Him. We wanted Him to be the manager of our lives. We wanted to follow Him. When you're following somebody, you're willing to do whatever they say to do, right? So in 1 Peter chapter, I'll say in verse 15 here, he says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Some of the things that we end up in, and the reason I throw this out for me, that's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. Am I holy as a result of this action that I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Making this decision, is this, would the Lord look at me and saying, "You're being holy"? You know, and I mean, that helps me get that in perspective of whether or not, hey, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing?
Yeah.
Am I considered holy? Is this something that Jesus would do? What was that wristband that they used to have with the promise keepers all the time? Or maybe it wasn't promise keepers.
What would Jesus do?
Yeah, WWJD. What would Jesus do? They had those and guys look at it and say, okay, would Jesus do this?
Yeah, and that's a good measure because, you know, one of the things that I learned when I was looking at TV and first was, would I watch this with my little girl, you know? And
yes.
Then finally I said, would I watch this show with Jesus? You know?
Yeah.
would he want to hang out with me in my man cave and watch this movie?
Yeah.
You know? And then it puts a different perspective on it. Because sometimes, and this is for me anyway, superfluous violence, you know, violence that is just violence for violence sake.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff is not good for us because it desensitizes us to violence. And so there's some things that we need to check out in our lives sometimes and say, you know, is this something I need to be doing? You know? Yeah. My pet one is speeding.
Wow, it's so serious. Look at this. I knew that, too. Look at that. Is speeding a sin? Do you know what this is going to say?
What?
I mean, you know what it's going to say? Is speeding a sin?
Yeah.
Come on, you know what it's going to say.
It says no.
It does not say no.
It says all things are legal for me to do.
I think you've got the scripture just messed up just a little bit there.
No, yeah.
Yes, all things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Right.
Right.
And I will not
Paul
be born
says.
Under the power of anything. Yes. And if you're addicted to speeding, it's not good.
But if we believe Jesus' word, he says that all the authorities exist only because I've allowed them to exist.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm kind of paraphrasing there
right.
in my own.
Right.
Truly what it comes down to is that if I am going against what God says, this is who I put in charge, and you're not going to pay attention. People don't like this, especially in where there's certain government officials that they just don't like. Right, we've seen it with the new election.
Wow.
Okay, that they are going to go against. It's okay for me to bust the Starbucks glass in front doors of the Bank of America and all of that because I don't believe in what took place.
Right.
And so, does that mean they're going to keep from going to jail? Not necessarily.
No.
Yeah. There's actually film. That's actually got you on camera, and there's probably going to be somebody knocking on your door
yeah.
if you're not continually running.
Yeah.
So, but the fact is, those are the consequences that take place.
Yes.
If we speed, we're going to get a ticket if we get caught,
yes.
right? It's because you drive that Porsche and stuff. That's
yeah,
what it is.
I stick my foot in it, and it's just exhilarating. Feeds my flesh. That must be sin.
Well, you got to look for the places where they actually upgraded the speed limit, you know, over in Eastern Washington they did, so you can now go over there 5 miles faster. But anyway, we're getting away from where we're going here.
Right.
So what is the danger of what's taking place? I mean, yes, the consequence here, if we sin, what's the consequence? I can ask for forgiveness and just continue doing it, right?
Well, yeah, but that's not repentance. You know, asking for forgiveness is different than repentance. Repentance is a change of mind and turning away from that act that you did.
Yes.
So, you know, just saying I'm sorry, those of us who are married know that you can say I'm sorry once too often and it means nothing from then on because the wife knows he's not really sorry.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so being sorry is not the issue. The issue is, do we see things God's way?
Yes.
Because God, when we repent, we turn from how we see it and we turn to the way God sees it.
Yes.
And it's God who determines what is sin and not sin, because it's not me that determines what's sin. It's God. It's a sin against God and his
yes.
holiness, like you say.
Yes.
And so if we don't turn from that, we're not repentant.
Yes. And you brought up something very, I think, very important, especially with men who have a relationship. Maybe they have a significant other that they're going to be married to, or maybe they are married. I tell guys the words, "I'm sorry," throw them out of your vocabulary. They don't mean anything to your wife anymore. They truly don't. It doesn't matter how deep or what kind of music you have in the background as you're saying it, or how big the bouquet of flowers are at
right,
the same time.
Right.
It does not, that "I'm sorry" does not mean anything.
No.
But when we are truly repentant, like you said, when we are looking at this, we start to feel things a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
We sense things differently.
Right.
So how can we sound differently with our wife instead of saying "I'm sorry"?
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you look in her eyes after you feel this feeling, knowing that you've been convicted,
mm-hmm.
okay, is asking her, "Forgive me
mm-hmm.
for how I spoke to you or how I treated you. Forgive me."
Mm-hmm.
When you ask for forgiveness and then ask, "How can I make this right?"
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, it'll come out differently. She's going to go, "What happened to you?"
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And she may say that internally. She may not say it out loud because she likes what she hears.
Right.
Right. But the simple fact is that that's back to our demeanor and everything that changes as a result of it.
Yeah.
Well, how many times we've done this before, always said to somebody, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that." Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry it bothered you.
Yeah, I'm sorry I got caught.
I enjoyed it. yeah, I'm sorry I got caught. Those
yes,
kind
Judge,
of
I'm sorry I got caught.
Yeah. No, it's true that we need to start looking at things the way God sees them. Because only, it's just like treating my wife. You know, I need to treat her like God wants me to treat her, not like I want to treat her. And this is the lordship of our lives. When we give our lives to Christ, it's what it really means. It means I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Yes.
You know, and that he will speak through me. He will love my wife through me.
Mm-hmm.
He will drive my car through me. He
mm-hmm.
will do what needs to be done through me because I am dead. I have died.
All righty then.
Tough, isn't it?
Well, it can be.
It is.
It's very
it
struggling
is.
Sometimes. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about some of these things as in there are a few states around that have legalized marijuana. In a sense, okay? And I'm trying to keep from – I couldn't do it. Anyway, so what ends up taking place are these things. Even if – is it okay for me to drink, lightly? You know,
wine.
Is it
a glass
yeah,
of wine with dinner?
Yeah. Or is it okay to drink a shot of whiskey every now and then?
Or a hard toddy when I'm sick.
Yes. Or if I'm on vacation, to be able to, away from everything else with, whatever. Are these things allowable
mm-hmm.
in a sense?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about those a little
okay.
bit. Okay. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
I got off track, I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand. There I was, now here I am. Here I am. Change.
Man, that's something that needs to take place when we end up, it happens automatically when we accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord.
Yeah, he changes.
He enters in us. And as a result of that, we take that seriously at the time, and we're proud. We want to let people know, this is what happened to me, you know, and this is a good thing.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the line, we start to get not as enthusiastic about that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's because of the world and everything else that takes place in the world, right? I mean, it's like getting into the thrashing water and storm water and everything every day. You know it's going to be like this. How are you going to deal with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's going to come. And when you think it's not going to come, that's when you're going to get hit blindsided.
Oh yeah.
And all of a sudden you're just and somebody's going to ask you, say, "Hey, you got to try this out. This is something that they just passed the law on. And you can do this. We just have to do it in the privacy of our own home or away where there are no people or whatever it is." I'm not even sure what the law says.
No, man, you can smoke it driving in your car or walking in the street. Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. See, you know more than I do on that part now. Yeah, well, anyway, so the simple fact is that these are some things because the law says it's okay. Does that mean that's okay for me to do this too?
Well, that's an interesting thing because, you know, the law of the land says a lot of things. You know, the law now says that I can marry another man. The law says, you know, that I can buy marijuana, I can smoke marijuana. See, laws change because laws are cultural, and whoever makes the laws are the people who, for political, you know, reasons, do things. And so the moral law, you know, the law of liberty, the word is what you need to live by, not just the legal law, because the legal laws aren't always from God. They used to, you know, there was a time when the Ten Commandments were the basis of our law.
Yes.
But we have deviated from that quite a bit. And so now it's man's interpretation. I don't want to get political, but we have activist judges who make these kind of political laws that are not based on God's law, but based on man's law. And so the thing is that from God's perspective, you know, are we going to be able to stand in front of him? Because one day, each and every one of us, saved or unsaved, is going to have to stand in the judgment. And for us who are saved, we stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says that we will have to answer for everything we've done in this body. Everything. We have to. And we're not going to be able to fool God or give him, you know, our rational reasons and excuses as to why we did certain things. I don't think he's going to be fooled because he knows our hearts and he knows why we do everything we do. So our biggest problem, guys, is that we have to really check ourselves because what is the motive for doing things? Let's take an example, medical marijuana. Okay. As Raul and I were talking offline, we see that some people will get their medical marijuana prescriptions just to go get high, as opposed to it. They don't have chronic back pain. They're not in a situation. They just get it as an excuse to get high. Now, they have been deceitful. They are not doing it for a good reason. They're doing it for a bad reason. Would you say it's a good reason for me to get high? I didn't feel good and I needed to get high. No. As a Christian, where do we go to get high? We go to the Holy Spirit. We go to Jesus to get high. He takes us higher. And when we take other things to take us higher instead of Jesus, guess what? That's a sin.
Yes.
Because once we're saved, he is our everything. Yes. And for us to use anything, whether it be booze, whether it be pills, whether it be weed, whether it be sex, whether it be gambling, anything that we do to make us feel better, as opposed to going to him, is sin.
Well, isn't it so often in that we hear ourselves? Because, you know, we're leaders within the kingdom, and as a result of that, we hear what men are striving for. They're striving for comfort, is what it looks for.
Yeah.
Okay? I've got to deal with this world, and this is the only way of me being able to just escape and be comfortable, okay? Of being able to, and then not just that, but what it does is opens the door to other things.
Yeah.
If I'm comfortable, if I'm not of sober mind, in a sense, all of a sudden I start thinking about some of those other sins that I used to maybe relish in years ago, that I used to partake in, that every now and then I think about, but I said, no, I can't go there. But now that my mind is not quite right, because I'm being... Under the influence, thank you. And then what ends up taking place is I become more apt or likely to say, you know, I am going to dabble in that just a little bit.
Yeah. And you know what happens very easily? Music. When you get high and you can hear a song that 10 years ago you used to like, and as a woman that's associated with that song, and you start thinking about that, and your imagination starts taking you there. All kinds of things can be developed when we open these doors in our lives. And these pharmaceuticals and these drugs and these things that we take to make us feel better are only opening ourselves up for the enemy. We talked about spiritual warfare. He looks for these open doors of ways that we have allowed him to come into our lives. So we can't afford that, guys, because we're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God.
Yes. You know, in James, the book of James, I love James because, he's right between the eyes, right? And that's one of the first books that I did as a Bible study within the group before it became the ministry that it became, that God allowed it to be. But anyway, in James chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." So that means, that means that if you sinned, you might as well just sin them all. Now, I've had guys come up and say, hey, I've sinned, so I might as well, I'm just going to sin them all.
That's true, yeah.
Now, what do you say to that? Well, you don't say a lot. You pray for them. Because you know what? There's something that they have to experience, something that some people have to go through. They're not listening any longer to rational or what the Word of God is saying.
Or the Holy Spirit that lives in
them. Or the Holy Spirit within them. They've shut it down. And that's what some of these things end up doing.
Yeah.
The comfort that medicinal marijuana, when you're out of mind, that's why when Paul talks about being of a sober mind, he's not so much, I don't think, he's just trying to let us know that you want to have your head focused on the Lord.
Yeah.
That's when you're sober-minded.
Right.
Okay? Because there's so much of the world that can take you away from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who doesn't? I mean, there's many of us who love adrenaline. Adrenaline,
rush,
right?
Yeah,
you'd be able to do something, you know, do a zip line or you know, do a backflip if you. I don't do backflips anymore.
No,
but anyway, but the simple fact, anything that's going to create adrenaline, it's a rush that gets you away from. I mean, it just feels good.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good.
Yeah,
adrenaline rush is not a sin, to my knowledge.
No, not unless you're addicted to it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that can create the adrenaline going too.
Mm-hmm.
Sin can, and I will say that, you know, if you're in warfare, literally in warfare, if you're in a fight, the adrenaline is flowing. That's why you don't that didn't hurt.
God made that because we need that
to
in certain
us.
Situations.
Yes.
It helps us to have victory in certain situations physically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so these things, we sit there and we think, oh, I just want to be able to feel that all the time.
Sure.
And there are those drugs that are actually allow you to feel that same way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But our point is that we keep thinking at times just a little bit's okay. It's not really a sin. But
a little bit's okay. More is better. That's what a guy will tell you. Yeah. But it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart, brother. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? Are you quenching the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you? He is convicting us. That is his job. And when we quench the Holy Spirit, we're in bad shape, because then we're not listening to him. We don't hear him, and we don't want to hear him, because he's there to let us know. He's there so that we won't enjoy sin. That's what he does. He convicts us of sin, makes us know that it's not God's way. And if we ignore him so that we can feel good about our sin, after we do it long enough, he just gets quiet. He lets us enjoy it and go down the wrong path until God turns that path into something that will chastise you.
And what ends up taking place, and that's why so many, and I'm not just going to say men, but we are talking to men, but that's why so many men end up getting to that place of, I can't wait any longer to see how, if this is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll seek God, but if I don't get an instant result, you may not say that, but you were thinking that in your heart. If I don't get an instant, I'm going to say, if within a week or two or something didn't happen, I'm going a different path, because obviously God didn't work.
Right.
And that's not how this works.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not. You know, God doesn't work on our timetable. He has his own.
Yeah.
His is best, and ours is not.
Yeah.
It goes back to whether we've given our lives to him, really.
Right.
You know, we say we've given our lives to God, but we take it back.
So we question. So in question becomes the salvation. Was there any real salvation
at
the time?
Even a saved person takes it back.
Yeah.
You know, because we live so long running our own lives.
Yes.
That once we get saved, this is a new thing for us. I'm a new creation, but I've still got old habits and old ways of thinking. That's why Romans 12:1 says, you know, we've got to renew our minds. Our minds have stinking thinking.
Yes.
We still think the old way, with the rational, the selfishness, the ego, all that stuff is still there. And that's why God says we need to be discipled, because discipling, living in community, allows us to bounce these ideas off of each other. And somebody says, hey, man, that's the old way, man. That's not the new way. And you say, okay. All right. And you start to realize that there is a new way of living that God has for us that is a better way of living.
Yes. Well, let's take our final break, and just when we come back, let's talk about some of the things that we can do to, help us to get back on track of seeking God and not feeling remorseful or regret or shame or guilt. You know, all those things that have a tendency of pulling us back into that darkness. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
In the book of John, chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." Okay. Well, one of the key things, so many key things in that statement of the Lord, okay, is one is that he will not let anybody be snatched out of his hand. But we do everything possible but being snatched in some cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we've got to desire him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a two-way street here.
Oh, yeah.
if I don't desire him, sometimes we just want to say, oh, when I get to that place, Jesus, pull me out of there.
Yeah.
Save me.
Yeah.
Brother, you know, we make stupid decisions, and he's going to allow you to do and feel what's going to take place as a consequence from our behavior and things that take place.
Yeah.
And so often we think that little things are no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. One of the things I think is so important is that we stay connected in fellowship.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you may think that, oh, I do go to church and, you know, with my family and, you know, we all get there and so on and so forth. But there's more to it than just going to church. Church is actually, you're going to hear the word of God and hopefully you're going to be inspired and encouraged to know more of the Lord. Because that's what it's all about. It's about your personal relationship with him.
Yeah.
That no longer as a result of our sins do we have to go and sacrifice a pigeon or a goat or a sheep, right? Now, the perfect sacrifice was already given. And that was Jesus who gave himself on that cross. His blood is our redemption. His blood is what saved us, okay? Because the wages of sin are death, okay? And as a result of that, if we don't hear those, not the result of that, but if we don't hear that often, we have a tendency of going our own way
mm-hmm.
and kind of getting away from the pack, so to speak. And when we're not in an area where there's accountability, guys don't like that word, right? But that's what it is. When you get to know other people, other men, in our ministry, I see men that stick around and they come back and they give away what they've received to other men who come and there's a true fellowship that takes place. There's a sense, not that somebody's going to be looking over your shoulders, but you get to know them. They get to know you. And when you're not showing up, someone's going to call you.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while, Raul. Where you been? Oh, I've just haven't been feeling very good lately. Yeah, but it's been about like 6 weeks. Have you been to the doctor? You know, you start getting questions and stuff that start making some sense, and you want to shorten the conversation up or say, you know, I got to get going. I got to be someplace here really quick. You know. But the true fact is that fellowship is what's necessary. You mentioned it in discipleship,
mm-hmm.
because when we disciple. Or being disciple, or we disciple others, we're now in community.
You got to be.
And the community is what's so, so important for our walk on this earth with the Lord. It really is.
Oh, yeah. We're part of the body of Christ. It's no Lone Ranger Christians. You know, a Christian that's a Lone Ranger is just waiting to be taken out by the enemy because, you know, Jesus only gave us two commandments. One is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul. And what's the other one? Love your neighbor as yourself. What do I have to love other people? I need to be in communion with other people, not just God, because we reflect God into other people. And so we have to learn that you got to come out of that shell. We got to come out of the hiding, come out of that darkness and come into the light. Because, see, you can't take that darkness into community because the other light will shine on your darkness and you won't like that. So the best thing for us to be able to live a life that's pleasing to God is to live a life in community. Because one thing we learn, everything we get is to give away to somebody else. If we get life, we should give life to somebody else. If we get love from God, we should give love away to somebody else. So it's not for us to keep, it's to give away, because as we give away, we get more.
That's right.
And so we've got to learn that the reason why a lot of times our glasses don't have anything in it is because we're trying to hold on to stuff instead of trying to give stuff away. Yeah. And giving it away requires that we have relationship, because you can't give it away to somebody that you don't have a relationship with.
That's right.
So God wants us to have relationship. He enjoys us loving each other. And it's not always easy. It's not always nice. It's just like family. Family doesn't always get along. It's not always wonderful to have people around. You know, some of them step on your toes. You step on somebody else's toes. But it's real life. Real life is lived in community.
Yes, because usually when it comes down to it, when somebody's really in dire need, where it looks like it could be tragedy would take place if somebody didn't step in, the families usually you step in. That's what they say, that, hey, blood is thicker than
the mud.
Than That's mud otherwise. But anyway, but yes, Jesus was all about relationship.
Yes.
He was all about relationship.
Yes, he
and
was.
And so this is what I love about the opening gospel, the Gospel of John, the opening here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
God's in
he
community.
He was with God in the beginning.
Yeah.
So there's community right there.
Right there,
okay?
The Trinity.
He goes on, through him all things were made.
Mm-hmm.
Without him nothing was made that has been made.
Yeah.
In him was life, and that life was the light of men.
Yes.
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
No.
Okay? So they don't mix.
No.
Light and darkness don't mix, brother.
Yeah.
And if we are living in the darkness, brother, what we need is more light.
Yeah.
So the light is God. The word that we share that you just heard is him, okay? So we need more of him. We need more of the word. We need not only the word, we need to be able to share it with others.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your community. There's your. This is what we're called to do.
Yeah.
This is how we manage the purpose that God has given us, and we will find out. See, you're not who you are because of where you work or where you live or how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's how what the world says you are, okay? But that's not where your identity comes from. It comes from your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. And brother, you know, maybe you're not a social guy. Maybe you're just, you know, trying to get this thing going. But if you will just commit to meeting with one person every week, a brother that God puts in your path to do that. And then after you get your strength and get your sea legs going, then maybe God will put somebody else in your path that's younger than you in the word. Because what you really want to have is you want to have somebody that you have given the right to speak into your life to help you grow. And then you want to take that and find somebody and teach them how to grow and speak into their life, because then there's the flow, because God is just loves to flow through us and in us. So you have somebody that's discipling you and you're discipling somebody else. And in that you have accountability and responsibility at the same time. You have accountability to the person who is discipling you, and you have the responsibility to disciple somebody else.
Yes. And so often when we look at in the New Testament, the travels of Paul and his ministry, okay, the various places that he had gone to, it's all about relationship. It's about places that he would go. People knew him. They welcomed him. They helped him to be able to do the things he needed to do. Silas and Barnabas, and I mean, you just go on and on. The more that you learn about them and what they had done, that's what it's all about. They relied on that. But
yeah.
They relied ultimately on the relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
okay, and their relationship with God. And without God, we can't do anything.
No, no. And we need God, but and we need other people, because, you know, some of the things that we think in our own minds sounds pretty good. But then you bounce it off somebody else, you find out, hey, that wasn't such a brilliant idea. It just sounded good in my head. And so we need, that's why the Bible said, let every word be established mm-hmm. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses.
Yes.
Because sometimes you don't have the answer that is real.
That's right.
You have alternative facts.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have somebody that you relate to, that you can bounce it off of,
yes.
and take their opinion seriously. And so, Barnabas was mentoring Paul, and Paul mm-hmm. mentoring Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you get and you give. You get and you give.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to learn that's God's method of doing things, and that's his pattern. And if we'll get in that flow, if we will find somebody that we're willing to allow to speak into our lives, we think that that God has moved in their life, they've been in the word longer,
right.
And that we allow them to just give us some help, and then we help somebody else, we will be in that flow.
So Felix, in today's world, the technology we have today, we can listen to pastors, ministry leaders, we can listen to them speak, we can listen to their books, we don't even have to have other people around, we can get a lot of this information. So is that a good thing?
But then it's just information. We're not talking about information. We're talking about transformation. We're talking about being in fellowship. You can't be in fellowship with a book. You can't be in fellowship even with a podcast. You can't be in fellowship with that. It needs to be a live interaction between two hearts, yes. You know, because this is a reality of two people, you know. So yeah, that now you can have pen pals. You might have a long sure. distance relationship in writing with somebody, but you're connected. There's a connection. See, there's mm-hmm. no connection with me hearing Billy Graham speak on. There's no connection with me and
or
him.
The guys who are listening, unless they know us, are actually
right. There's no connection. Exactly. God wants us to connect at mm-hmm. the heart level because that's what God's about mm-hmm. connecting. Things and people together. Mm-hmm. And so we want to have that because that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of somebody being mm-hmm. connected to us, that they know me. They know me, you know, be known. We want to be known, be willing to be known.
But truly that part of knowing me, that means that there's a fear that they may find something that maybe I don't want them to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that we're hiding something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is some darkness that's taking place in our lives that nobody knows. But there is one that does know.
Oh, yes.
And that's God.
Amen.
God the Father, he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus
mm-hmm.
sees it. Yeah. Holy Spirit knows it. He's in you.
Yeah, if he's in you.
He's been trying to tell you to stay clear of it, to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking that it's too late, that the enemy, you think the devil's got you and he cannot let go of you. That's not true. That's another lie. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact is that in you just renouncing that, okay?
Yeah.
And asking forgiveness from the Lord and saying, Father, I want to repent. Thank you for the strength that you give me. Thank you for the courage that you give me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your faithfulness. Acknowledge him, because when you acknowledge him, you're in his presence.
Yeah.
And you're in the presence of light. Guess what's not there?
Darkness.
There you go. Well, brother, good topic. Flew right by again.
Again.
Hey, how about praying for our brothers?
Oh, Father, I just thank you that you have this person listening to this podcast, oh God, and that they would be willing to allow you to lead them and guide them to all truth. Lord, let them know that the gray areas are the areas that the enemy works in, and you want to lead them to light and truth. Lord, speak to them this morning and this afternoon and this evening, Lord. Let them know what you have for their lives. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. And most of all, make yourself so real to them and let them be willing to be exposed to other people. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name.